Welcome back to Return to Disc. My name is Dan. This week we're going to be talking about Orson Welles. Orson Welles' career spanned multiple platforms, including theater, radio, and film. His radio play early on of H.G. Wells's War of the Worlds left many Americans panicked that there was actually an alien invasion. Orson Welles truly was a master storyteller. And today, I wanted to talk about Citizen Kane and Touch of Evil. So let's get into it. We'll start with Citizen Kane. In the most dazzling debut feature in cinema history, 25-year-old writer, producer, director, star Orson Welles synthesized the possibilities of sound era filmmaking into what could be called the first truly modern movie. In telling the story of the rise and fall of a William Randolph Hearst-like newspaper magnate named Charles Foster Kane, Welles not only created the definitive portrait of American megalomania, he also unleashed a torrent of stylistic innovations, from the jigsaw puzzle narrative structure to the stunning deep-focus camera work of Greg Toland, that have ensured that Citizen Kane remains fresh and galvanizing for every new generation of moviegoers to encounter it. From 1941, 119 minutes, in black and white, Citizen Kane. Citizen Kane's a film that is kind of a requirement for any film buff, and you hear about it a lot. At least I did, that it topped many lists of greatest film of all time. People say, you know, this is the Citizen Kane of this and that. So you hear a lot about this movie. And I watched it at an early age. I watched it at 18, and I didn't care for it. I think I came in prejudging it as far as, you know, a black and white film, kind of slow moving. What am I going to gain from this? Then I watched it later in college, and, you know, I liked it a little more. But I really think I must have zoned out, because this viewing, by far, the most rewarding. I think not only have I grown as a person, but as a filmmaker, so I was able to really just let the movie take over and wash over me. A lot of the storytelling aspects, the use of voiceover, the editing, the non-linear style of storytelling, the way the camera's used, the writing, all comes together, and it still holds up to this day, and I really think that Citizen Kane is, in fact, one of the most impactful films in cinema history, especially coming off of, you know, silent film and transitioning to talkies. Nobody had really nailed it at this point, and I think Orson Welles, for a debut film, really nailed it out of the park with Citizen Kane. Break it down to its small, finite detail of plot. It's really a mystery. What is Rosebud? Who is Rosebud? Everybody thinks it's a person, an ex-lover, you know, Rosebud. You know, that's the opening shot. We see, like, the broken-down mansion of Herman Foster Kane and Do Not Trespass sign, with the fence and everything. We see all that opening, and then we see Herman Foster Kane in his last breath holding a snow globe and having the snow globe falling out of his hand, and he's saying, Rosebud. So the whole movie, the whole 2 hours, we're thinking, like, well, what is Rosebud? Who is Rosebud? And everybody's trying to investigate. They go and they basically interview all the people that were involved with Herman Foster Kane over the years that are still alive, and they try to dig up, like, the big mystery of who Rosebud is. So then when you finally see what Rosebud is, because they were asking the wrong question of who Rosebud is, but what is Rosebud? It's just a fantastic ending when you see what Rosebud is, and I don't want to spoil it for anybody that's brand new to Citizen Kane. Go into Citizen Kane as blind as you can if you're new to this film. I can't stress it enough. As a technical side, this movie still is influencing today. I mean, I'm still thinking of the shot. His mother is making the decision to give him up for adoption, and then you see little Herman Foster Kane in the window behind them playing in the snow. And it's really like a great moment where you're seeing two stories at once. You're seeing the dilemma of sending this, you know, less fortunate kid off to a rich family to have this rich upbringing and become who he becomes throughout the film, which is this sort of political rich figure who sort of ends up alone and bitter in an empty mansion. And then you also have the innocence of a child playing in the snow. I just think it's fantastic how he told the story in the single frame. Two stories at once, parallel to each other. So I want to do an unboxing sort of presentation of the packaging for the Citizen Kane, because not only is this thing heavy, it's very complicated, and I spent 5 minutes trying to get the disc out of this. First of all, they have, and this is one of the few, if the only one, that has a slipcover. This is where things get complicated. So there's Orson. And it flips. Flips into this figure four type thing. So you can see the discs are kind of slid in the folders, and I had a hard time getting that 4K out. Anyway, there's a booklet in the middle. There is the Rosebud, the snow globe, and this is a beautiful essay archival book here. This is great. So, Citizen Kane, check it out. Back to the show. All right, so that's the packaging for the Criterion 4K UHD. I have to say, it's a great transfer. It's a great package. Anybody that is a fan of Orson Welles, Citizen Kane, this is the special features on here are like taking a film course. You have a brand new 4K digital restoration with the original audio monorail soundtrack, Dolby Vision HDR, and three Blu-rays with the films and special features. So three audio commentaries, documentaries, the complete Citizen Kane, a rare scene feature-length BBC documentary, new interviews, two video essays, new program by film scholars, interviews. Oh man, there's so much stuff packed into this package. It is the definitive collection for this movie. So let me know, guys. Have you seen Citizen Kane? What did you think of it? Does it still hold up? Let me know below. I'm Gary. Today we're going to be drinking with Orson. Oh, he's not really going to be here. Sorry, darling. Alright, so Orson's going to be on the pewter. So we're going to bring out the computer and we're going to drink with Orson. Alright, Orson's here, man. We're going to be drinking something that ain't sponsored. Liquid Death. But this is the mango. Cheers to you, Orson. You greatest musician of all time. Oh, Orson. Yeah, take one, you baby. Take one? Orson's ready for this one.
With overlap, action
please. Oh yeah, please. Focusing right on in. Yeah, buddy. Look at that booze. Look at that focus, action, man. He ain't going in
just
for it.
Just do anything?
No, it's a, sorry, cut.
Oh, take two.
102, take two.
Ah, the French Ooh-wee. Champagne.
He ready for this one.
It's always been celebrated for its excellence. There is a California champagne back.
I can't understand. Where are you staying?
Inspired by that same French excellence. It's fermented in the bottle, and like the best French champagne, it's vintage dated. So pour my son.
How much you get paid for this?
102, take three.
Oh, wake up, baby. Wake up, Orson.
The French champagne has always been celebrated for its excellence. There
this
is
man
a
had too much wine.
Champagne by Paul Masson. Inspired
man, you know,
by that same French
for
excellence.
Somebody's got to take Orson off
the
set here.
The bottle and like the best French
great.
Champagne. It's vintage dated. So Paul Masson.
Hey, Dano. Hey, Dano, how much you think you got paid for that one? Well, I'm Gary. That was my drinking with Orson. So, cheers.
The French champagne.
Ooh-wee. Directed by Hollywood legend Orson Welles, Touch of Evil is a film noir masterpiece whose Hollywood backstory is as unforgettable as the movie itself. Starring Charlton Heston, Janet Leigh, and Welles himself, this dark portrait of corruption and morally compromised obsessions tells the story of a crooked police chief who frames Mexican youth as part of an intricate criminal plot. With its iconic ticking bombs opening sequence, shadowy cinematography, evocative score, and memorable supporting turns, Touch of Evil is a stylistic triumph that stands the test of time. This 3-disc special edition features 4K restorations of all three versions of the film. So we're getting the reconstructed film version, theatrical version, and the preview version. I watched the reconstructed version because it is Orson Welles' intended vision. Basically what happened was there was a lot of studio interference with Orson Welles at this time, and they wanted the movie to be a certain way. They had ideas. Orson Welles had his own ideas. He actually wrote the studio a 58-page memo about his changes, what he wanted for the actual vision of Touch of Evil. So this edit, this reconstruction edit, is to that memo.
Thank you.
The opening scene, I think, is the most famous part of this film. You have a one shot of Charlton Heston and Janet Leigh leaving Mexico, heading for the border of the U.S. and Mexico, while the car in front of them blows up. So there's our mystery. Like, what happened? How did and it turns out that the people that the couple that was in the car are rich and famous. So this is a huge case. So then walks a gruntled police chief played by Orson Welles. You know, he's very, you know, he got the cigar in his hand. You have he's a big figure. Orson Welles had put on a lot of weight at this time. He's a big burly figure. So he's perfect for this role against Charlton Heston, who works for the Mexican police. And so you have American versus Mexican police and trying to figure out who done it, who framed who put the dynamite in the car, and it leads us down a trail that becomes rather interesting. So Charlton Heston is after Orson Welles because he thinks that the dynamite was planted by American police, and he's trying to prove it. Can Heston prove he's right? And at the end, we're left with this twist that I think is very satisfying. Again, Orson Welles' dynamic with the style, the wonder in the beginning, the shots of underneath, you know, characters to provide dominance over another character. Beautifully choreographed, beautifully shot. This 4K by Kino Lorber is top-notch, top-shelf stuff here. The special features you get is Bringing Evil to Life, a documentary, Evil and Lost and Found, behind-the-scenes look at the reconstruction, which is very informative as far as what went on behind the scenes. And then 5 commentaries. 3 discs here, and they all are 4K UHD discs. We have the reconstruction version, which I watched, and then they put 2 stacked on each other, the preview version and the theatrical. Great release by Kino Lorber. Highly recommend Touch of Evil. Let me know below in the comments, have you seen Touch of Evil? What do you think of it? And as always, this has been Return of the Disc. I'm Dan. For more Return of the Disc, visit returnofthedisc.com. Check out the audio version of today's show, available on all major podcast platforms. And be sure to subscribe to the YouTube channel.